like open doors, leading you down into my core, where I become so
tune in live this Friday, October 27th, 2017 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild ride it is. Just gets weirder in this throwback to a Greco-Roman Republic. It's very strange what's happening in this society. Very, very strange. But we'll talk a little bit about that today. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. Yesterday, 2,800 of the remaining 3,150 or so files relating to the assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy were released. And as expected, nothing to see here. Speaking of this wild and dystopic ride, Jason Burmis' tip regarding the Debruy Memorandum as the coal mine canary, as I'd put it, was well observed. In other words, no Debruy Memorandum equals no new developments. But then that's exactly what Judge Jack Tunheim told us to expect, didn't he? And we played that clip earlier this week. So Dan Dix at Press for Truth was right about limited hangouts, which I believe is all this latest release amounts to. Rest assured, I won't waste my time on the new release. I will listen to folks that I will kind of watch and observe as others investigate, but I don't expect anything substantive or revelational to come from those documents. So that's unfortunate. And the words of JFK kind of echo in my mind as far as that's considered, as far as that's concerned, I think that it's very unfortunate considering his speech, as he put it, the president and the press. Those words, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it. As Julian Assange pointed out back in August, this is not about national security. This is about political security. And so, as JFK said, even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Precisely what we do in America, or precisely what the ne'er-do-wells comprise the powers that shouldn't be, as James Corbett would put it. That's precisely what they do. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. Isn't that precisely the society that we live in today? Precisely. We've been warned so many times. One of those warnings was from a man who held the high office of president, and he was assassinated. So, in broad daylight, no less. You know, so we'll get back to the Las Vegas incident. I've been thinking about the Las Vegas incident with regard to the latest developments as far as the hard drive is concerned. I wanted to play some clips, but we can't do that at the moment, so we'll wait on that. So, you know, I was listening to the coverage on this yesterday, and the speculation at this point is that somehow, magically, watching one of the clips, for example, on Fox News, Shepard Smith reporting yesterday, the story goes like this. Investigators say they think Stephen Paddock removed that hard drive after he fired shots from his room on the 32nd floor, but they haven't found it. Where could the missing hard drive have possibly gone? Well, in that segment, the mainstream conjecture is this. The guest speculated, well, maybe he flushed it away in his hotel bathroom. And so the tie back to the Kennedy assassination here is, I wouldn't be surprised if next look at how many times the timeline has changed already. I wouldn't be surprised if we heard a magic bullet theory and somehow a magic bullet killed 58 people. And I'm not being crass. It's that ridiculous. Try it. Try flushing a folding cell phone that's smaller than a hard drive in total size. But look at the size of a hard drive and see, just look at the elbows in the back of the bottom backside of a toilet and see if those... See if the hard drive would make it through those elbows. Anyone with any sense. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. Maybe he flushed it away in his hotel bathroom. Maybe he threw it out the window with thousands of people watching. And with police combing the scene inch by inch. Maybe he threw it out the window. Sure. So it seems there were tools to remove the hard drive found on scene. But weren't there other electronics missing too? Some electronics were found, but and then this kind of, you know, there are other stories. The John Bielman story, some have speculated, has a tie back to this story. But and that was a strange story. But you know, it's interesting. Remember, initially Sheriff Lombardo made that emphatic point that Stephen Craig Paddock could not have accomplished all of this on his own. Remember, he going so far as to suggest that he acted alone would be like making him. Remember the ridiculous remarks that he made? Folks, come on. Do you really believe all this is all self-facing? I mean, this weird soundbite that he made. I don't remember exactly how he put it, but he said you got to make the assumption he had to have help at some point, and we want to ensure that's the answer. Maybe he's a super guy. Maybe he's a superhero. Not a superhero. I'm not going to use that word. Not a hero. A super guy. A super Yahoo. Remember when he said that? Maybe he's a super guy. Superhero. Not a hero. Super. I won't use that word. Maybe he's a super that was working. Super Yahoo, he said. And then it was a very weird, disjointed soundbite among the others that he's made subsequent to this nonsense and him basically being thrown under the bus repeatedly by the overlords of this incident. But he said, here's the reason why. Put one and one, two and two together. I don't understand. Is that six? Or is it two and four? I'm confused. Another residence in Reno with firearms, okay, electronics, and everything else associated with larger amounts of ammo, a place in Mesquite. We know he had a girlfriend. Do you think this is all self-facing, individual without – what does that mean? Without talking to somebody, it was sequestered amongst himself. Come on, focus, folks. These type of investigations have been occurring in the last few years, and we have to investigate that. Okay, so he had to have help. He had to have disclosed information to somebody. Someone had to have known. But suddenly now, no, he didn't. He was acting alone, and we're convinced that he acted alone. And I mean, kind of like the timeline change completely 180 degrees from Jesus Campos, who leaves the country. Maybe the hard drive went with Jesus Campos to Mexico, but Campos is a hero and the shooting stopped when Campos arrived, except wait a second. No, it didn't start until Campos arrived. And this is the same kind of thing. It's so ridiculous what's going on with the Las Vegas incident. There's been some great coverage. Scott Creighton, his American Everyman blog, he did a great write-up on this kind of stuff. He's kind of been following it. He did a video on it yesterday titled Las Vegas Shooting Updates 10/26/17, including a link to his article from the 25th government's hush money payout master, Kenneth Feinberg, managing Las Vegas Victims Fund. That was announced back on the 10th. I think it was Fred in Pennsylvania who mentioned when we see Kenneth Feinberg get involved, we kind of know, obviously, you know, what the deal is. And Kenneth Feinberg is a particularly despicable human being, having been involved in all of the biggest hush fund payouts, as Scott Creighton puts it. I think that's a great way to put it. And I want to know, I mean, let's get a team of people together. I posted a tweet yesterday and asked when Congress is going to investigate the Las Vegas incident. Not that that would amount to anything, but at least it would kind of put it on the radar of the American people. And before it gets memory hold effectively, as the facts continue to change while we're pouring concrete and burying the bodies in it, apparently, it'd be nice if we could get Congress to investigate. But we should probably get a group of people together who have subject matter expertise. And I was thinking about that a little bit over the last couple of days. We should be able to get some people together. Jake Morfonius, for example, would maybe, based on his background, as I understand it, would probably be a good person to investigate Kenneth Feinberg and the hush fund payouts. And that's interesting because people have tried to sort of peel back the veneer on the coffers from time to time, most notably the Orlando Pulse nightclub nonsense and several of the recipients of the Pulse nightclub, as Scott Creighton pointed out, several of the Pulse nightclub shooting victims fund tried to sue to get a peek at the books, as Scott Creighton put it, before Feinberg distributed the cash. They questioned his credibility to no avail. And from the Orlando Sentinel, Scott Creighton quotes, in the 46-page complaint, Amador's attorney questions the credibility of fund administrator Kenneth Feinberg. And then, of course, you know, he points to the BP oil spill and the fact that folks and plaintiff's lawyers said that Feinberg was actually working for BP. So, you know, you think about what's going on with the total cover-up. It's pretty obvious what's going on. At a minimum, the low-level cover-up is the fact that MGM is orchestrating everything at this point. It's pretty obvious MGM is involved in orchestrating the timeline so that, as Scott Creighton put it, they don't get sued into non-existence. And, you know, the Jesus Campos disappearance, scheduled for 5 network interviews, including Hannity, and suddenly he vanishes and is reprogrammed and gets the new timeline and gets fed softball questions from MGM surrogate Ellen DeGeneres. And I'm still not convinced that she's not a CIA asset or operative. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, Julia Child, you watch her cooking show, no one would ever guess, but, you know, that she worked for Wild Bill Donovan himself. Anyway, this is all very, very strange and very disconcerting, to say the least. So it would be great, I think, to get a group of people together that had subject matter expertise to look into all of these little nuances of the Las Vegas incident. One person can't possibly do it themselves. You think about investigating the background of 58 alleged decedents, and I'm not trying to disparage anyone or anything, but we do know, as a matter of historical record, the federal government, the national military establishment, also known as the Department of Defense. It doesn't defend anything. It offends everything and everyone everywhere on the planet. Has a history, a documented history, of attacking its own people as a surreptitious pretext to attack other people, to garner widespread support under the fallacious belief that those people that are being attacked subsequently are responsible for the attack that was actually carried out by this national military establishment or surrogates. And the best example, obviously, the kind of emblematic example, is Project Cuba and most notably Operation Northwoods. But folks, I don't think, realize that even within the Cuba Project, Operation Northwoods was only one of a dozen plots. The one that's disclosed is one of about a dozen, and then there were dozens more. And this included holding mock funerals. Read the documentation. So it's not a matter of disparaging decedents or their families, victims. Absolutely not. It's a matter of getting to the bottom of this kind of nonsense and preventing it in the future. How is it okay that we have, you know, you look at what has happened since the National Security Act of 1947, the creation of the National Military Establishment, otherwise known as the Department of Defense, the CIA, the Joint Chiefs of Staff. How is it okay that this group of agencies subsequently created has conspired to injure the American people? How is that okay? Bad tree, bad fruit. Pruning bad trees means you get a proliferation of more evil. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Of the President to the American Newspaper Publishers Association, Waldorf Astoria Hotel, New York City, April 27, 1961.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate the generous invitation to be here tonight. You bear heavy responsibilities these days. And an article I read some time ago reminded me of how particularly heavily the burdens of present-day events bear upon your profession. You may remember that in 1851, New York Herald Tribune, under the sponsorship and publishing of Horace Greeley, employed as its London correspondent, an obscure journalist by the name of Karl Marx. We are told that foreign correspondent Marx, stone broke, and with a family ill and undernourished, constantly appealed to Greeley and managing editor Charles Dana for an increase in his munificent salary of $5 per installment, a salary which he and Engels ungratefully labeled as the lousiest petty bourgeois cheating. But when all his financial appeals were refused, Marx looked around for other means of livelihood and fame, eventually terminating his relationship with the Tribune and devoting his talents full-time to the cause that would bequeath to the world the seeds of Leninism, Stalinism, revolution, and the Cold War. If only this capitalistic New York newspaper had... had treated him more kindly. If only Marx had remained a foreign correspondent, history might have been different. And I hope all publishers will bear this lesson in mind the next time they receive a poverty-stricken appeal from a small increase in the expense account from an obscure newspaper man. I have selected as the title of my remarks tonight, The President and the Press. Some may suggest that this would be more naturally worded, The President versus the Press, but those are not my sentiments tonight. It is true, however, that when a well-known diplomat from another country...
What have we seen? A much different history, right? Yeah. We've seen a significantly different history than that, unfortunately. If only, as JFK observed, if only the newspaper publishers had borne that lesson in mind. But instead, essentially, all of the mainstream press has been conscripted to... The national military establishment. I mean, in times past, we've seen the disclosure, the open disclosure, whether in congressional proceedings or otherwise, other leaked documents and so forth, that we've heard that managing editors, for example, of the New York Times have been in the employ or the conscription of the Central Intelligence Agency. More recently, we've heard from the military industrial complex, the top levels of military brass have said that, you know, you think back to Michael Hastings' revelations and the fact that the top military brass had essentially said, we leveraged the press. This is not new. Stovepiping is sort of the official term for this, but unfortunately the point is we haven't learned the lessons, and publishers in particular. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit, to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low.
It's referred to as the strategy of tension. And it's been going on since before John F. Kennedy gave that speech. Again, it's the emergency powers that, for example, Donald Trump just invoked regarding the opioid crisis. We hear about emergency powers. And in this case, obviously, as Kennedy pointed out, it comes along in these instances, in this context, with the ostensible presumption of concealment. Security presumes excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts, as he pointed out. And that's kind of what's happening. And we kind of see that in Las Vegas investigation, don't we? The concealment of pertinent facts and the dangers which are cited to justify it. We hear about transparency, but we really don't see much of that, do we? Anyway, very, very strange and disturbing trends, alarming trends that we see these days. So some of the latest nonsense, just kind of off the top of my head, segment that Fox News aired today with the FBI, what is it, informant or what the heck ever, you know, this person who's infiltrated groups, that creepy interview, that's weird. Very, very strange. I don't know if you've seen it, but listen to it. You'll see what I mean. And speaking of that kind of nonsense, I think it's interesting that we're hearing about the FBI whistleblower in the dossier case, this Russia nonsense that continues, and we're hearing from her, or we're hearing from this whistleblower's attorney, which is also ridiculous. Meanwhile, the Associated Press published a story yesterday, the headline, and this is, I mean, this is what's happening out in plain sight, conspiracy, just happening in plain sight. Associated Press reported, AP News break, Georgia election server wiped after lawsuit filed. As the story goes, a computer server crucial to a lawsuit against Georgia election officials was quietly wiped clean by its custodians just after the suit was filed, days after, the Associated Press has learned. The server's data was destroyed July 7th by technicians at the Center for Election Systems at Kennesaw State University, which runs the state's election system. The data wipe was revealed in an email sent last week from an assistant state attorney general to plaintiffs in the case that was later obtained by the Associated Press. More emails obtained in a public records request confirmed the wipe. The lawsuit, filed July 3rd by a diverse group of election reform advocates, aims to force Georgia to retire its antiquated and heavily criticized election technology. So, it's kind of a, you know, it's one of those Brer Rabbit type lawsuits. You need to retire your technology. Well, we've heard for 20 years that the new technology can be hacked without a trace. Unless you, I mean, even if you're familiar with the, if you can sift through thousands of lines of code, maybe you can find the hack. Probably not, though. So the machines can be hacked without a trace. All of that is sort of misdirection anyway, because as I've pointed out for years, the National Election Pool, the NEP, has essentially been telling people who they've been voting for in Jedi mind trick fashion, like everything else, for years. And the only other person I've ever heard talk about that was the late, great Jack Otto, who talked about the Voter News Service, the VNS, which was the forerunner, the precursor to the National Election Pool. And it's the same organization. It's been the same organization since at least the 60s that every so often gets rebranded because of scandal. You think of like the Ohio voting scandal or the Florida hanging Chad nonsense. Every time there's a scandal, and basically it kind of goes like this. The precincts are essentially told what the vote count is from a national level, so to speak. And you look at the Wikipedia entry for the National Election Pool. The Wikipedia entry for the National Election Pool gets more meager every time I mention it, which should tell you all you need to know, really, honestly. It's virtually non-existent at this point. But even the end of it. So it starts out, the National Election Pool is a consortium of American news organizations formed in 2003 to provide, quote, information on election night about the vote count, election analysis, and election projections, end quote. Member companies consist of ABC News, the Associated Press, CBS News, CNN, Fox News, NBC, and NBC News. And so it uses the same people. You know, the precursor, it says, was Voter News Service, which was disbanded in 2003 after controversies. That's a good way to put it. In the 2000 and 2002 election results, the NEP plan is largely the suggestion of CNN, which used Edison Matofsky as consultants in the past. In other words, it's the same organization, because even the Wikipedia entry mentions Matofsky headed the original pool that preceded VNS. Okay, it's the same organization. It just has a new sticker, a new badge on it. Same organization that's been telling you who you voted for. Do you ever wonder? We talk about this every time there's a national election. Do you wonder how? No one wonders. But do you wonder how your local network affiliate knows at 10 o'clock in the morning the exact percentage, down to a tenth of a percent, that everyone's voted for, even though not a single precinct has – not a precinct is closed, not a vote has been counted? They say it's exit polling data. Really? To a tenth of a percent at 10 o'clock in the morning? Astonishing. These people should buy lottery tickets. They would be millionaires weekly. So continuing, the organizers of the pool insist that the purpose of their quick collection of exit poll data is not to determine if an election is flawed. No, because they know it is. It's not flawed. It's rigged. The purpose of their quick collection of exit poll data is not to determine if an election is flawed, but rather to project winners of races. See, they tell you right there. Despite past problems, they note that – listen to this brag. They note that none of their members has incorrectly called a winner since the current system was put in place. Think about that. Would you be suspicious if you went to the horse track and there was a group that – accurately predicted winners every single time they called a winner of a race, every single time for the last 14 years or so? Would that be a little suspicious? That's an admitted brag. Despite past problems, they note that none of their members has incorrectly called a winner since the current system was put in place. That's worse than one racetrack. That's like several racetracks. Our team of people, we're at all of the racetracks around the country, and we have never incorrectly called a winner of a race in the last 14 years. Aren't we fantastic? No, you're corrupt. You're criminals. And, you know, life goes on in America. I mean, You know, you think of the days of John McCain and the Keating Five. People went to prison. There were consequences. That wasn't that long ago. Today, we brag about our crimes, and no one goes to prison because, you know, I mean, we're fantastic. Despite past problems, they know none of their members has incorrectly called a winner since the current system was put in place. 14 years accurately calling winners of elections. That's just astonishing. And they tell your local network affiliate at 10 o'clock in the morning who's ahead, down to a tenth of a percentage, down to an exact vote count. 1,431 votes, 27.3% ahead. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And America doesn't bat an eye as we – I mean, it's just – it's astonishing. And so my favorite part, though, of the whole Wikipedia entry is that last sentence. However, to avoid the premature leaking of data, collection is now done in a quarantine room, quote unquote, at an undisclosed location in New York. All participants are stripped of outside communications devices until it is time for information to be released officially. So you get – I mean, it's the mob running the national election pool. There's a secret room in a back alley in New York where there are two phones. There's a red phone on the left and a black phone on the right. The red phone rings. This is who, you know, And then the person picks up the black phone on the right. Here's who's ahead. Here's who's winning. Here are the numbers. You know, seriously, it's old school mob style bookie, you know, numbers running kind of stuff is the picture that you get. And as my grandfather used to say, everything old is new again. It's the same game. But I digress. So that's what's really going on there. And there's never anything new to see as far as that's concerned. But I think it's fascinating, you know, this conspiracy out in plain sight, the open conspiracy, the lawsuit filed, back to the AP story, Georgia election server wiped after suit filed. Astonishing. The lawsuit filed July 3rd. Server's data was destroyed July 7th. No one will go to prison over that. Don't worry about it. No big deal. And, you know, the story continues. The server in question, which served as a statewide staging location. By the way, before I continue on this, remember, you know, what's even more provocative in my opinion. Remember those election data hacks that traced back to DHS and probably DNC? Oopsie. Now you see it, now you don't. Jedi mind trick. These are not the droids you're looking for. This is not the server you're looking for. What was it? Three states at last count, I think. At least three states were hacked by the DHS. Look at this. Russians hacked. Russians at the DHS, apparently. Hacked election servers. Oops. Wait, look away. Don't look here. Now, you can't look here because the servers have been wiped. The server in question, the article continues, which served as a statewide staging location for key election-related data. Of course it did. Made national headlines in June after a security expert disclosed a gaping security hole that wasn't fixed 6 months after he reported it to election authorities. Remember that story? Oops. That was back in June. Georgia official discounts threat of exposed voter records. Mm-hmm. Yeah. From that story, at the same time, Secretary of State Brian Kemp contested a lawsuit demanding the state abandon its antiquated touchscreen voting machines. We got to get rid of those. It's way too easy to it's what we want to do is go next level. You know, it's too hard to we need a more unified system. It's too hard to hack all of the systems remotely. You know, I mean, I keep going back to that that interview back in 2009, May 29, 2009, the day that the Obama administration announced its cybersecurity initiative, and they had Warren Olney had on his broadcast his obscure broadcast, KCRW, his broadcast titled To the Point. He had these cybersecurity experts, which, as I have pointed out in the past, would be like you or I. It would be like if, you know, today the National Golf Hall of Fame opened up, and I had on this broadcast Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Gary Player, and Lee Trevino. And, you know, Tiger Woods. We'll throw in Tiger Woods, 14 major wins. Yeah, I had all these guys on this broadcast. Would that be weird the same day? Wouldn't you kind of go, gosh, what does he know? Who does he know? So Warren Olney, the day that the Obama administration announced their cybersecurity initiative, there was the piece Warren Olney ran. It was titled Another Czar at the Obama White House. We play the clip, you know, fairly often still. This was 2009. And the experts that he had on were James Lewis, Jim Lewis over at CSIS, who is an old school bad guy at CSIS. He, among other awful things, he's the guy that wrote the paper, I think it was published back in 2006, that I talk about every once in a while, where he said RFID technology is coming. You know, he talked about the Twit card, for example, and other RFID technology that is particularly odious. But he said the stuff that you have seen, he was saying back then, the stuff that you see in the mainstream press is something to soften the public up with. It's something to say no to in sales vernacular. And the real technology, the real RFID stuff has already been developed, he said at that time. But, you know, it's not time to roll that out yet. We don't have broad enough consensus on, you know, it's time to do this. So every once in a while we see these articles roll out, don't we, about some company overseas that, you know, some Swedish or Swiss company that has employees that use RFID implants to securely enter their work facility or whatever. And, you know, so you see those every once in a while. But the real technology has yet to be rolled out. James Lewis was one of the guys that talked about that, among other things. So that was fun. Paul Light is an interesting guy, too. John Arquilla is the co-author of that piece that I come back to every once in a while, published in 1996, titled The Advent of Net War, where, you know, these headless groups that we now see amassing largely on the or through the internet. John Arquilla was a co-author of the paper that predicted, quote-unquote, predicted that. All these headless groups, you know, all of these movements, the Occupy and Tea Party and, you know, Antifa and all of the groups that you see, John Arquilla magically predicted that just a few short years after the internet was created officially in 1989. By 1996, John Arquilla was a co-author of the paper where they bragged they'd already been running around the world for years talking about how well what's happening now would be happening. And then Tom Kellerman is another one of those high level cybersecurity guys. So Warren Olney had these guys on, and there was that exchange. I think it was Tom Kellerman who was talking about the bank robbers. The physical bank heists are $6,000 or less. They usually get caught. The digital bank heists are usually $1 million or more. They almost never get caught. And then Warren Olney says, you know, that makes a person think of firewalls. I mean, you know, what about firewalls? And I think it's John Arquilla who says, you know, my master hacker friends say, and if I said that on the air and I was saying it personally, I think black SUVs with black windows would pull up with guys with black suits and sunglasses jumping out, probably armed, that would want to have a conversation with me. But John Arquilla said, my master hacker friends say there are no such thing as firewalls, and they, you know, they walk through them like you and I walk through an open room. They only acknowledge what they know. What in the world does that even mean? So the point is, when it comes to cybersecurity, it's a myth. And then we hear about the myth of anonymization. No PII, no personally identifiable information. That's, you know, as long as my name, DOB, and social aren't in there, then I'm fine, right? No. Remember back in 2011 at the Digital Privacy Forum, Andrew Rajay mentioned Paul Ohm's piece. He was a former government guy, then at the University of Colorado Law School professor. He wrote a piece titled Broken Promises of Privacy, Responding to the Surprising Failure of Anonymization. Remember how he wrote about three major examples that we've already forgotten about, you know, including Amazon and Netflix publishing data that seems fairly innocuous. These are just your movie preferences. This is just, you know, there's just things that you've liked. And suddenly those things get tied back to the folks through re-identification and database combining. It's not that difficult to figure out who people are. You go from 80% anonymous to about 86 or 87% identifiable. So, you know, this myth of privacy is just that. It's a myth. And we would do well to stop forgetting these lessons of history, but I digress. So anyway, the election server nonsense is particularly humorous. You know, the server in question, which served as a statewide staging location for key election-related data, made national headlines in June after a security expert disclosed a gaping security hole that wasn't fixed 6 months after he reported it to election authorities. Why wasn't it fixed? Because this is the same thing that always happens. One of the best examples I think of is Brooksley Bourne writing a letter personally to Alan Greenspan saying, you know, this system looks like it's going to collapse. And that letter is ignored. And then later, because it's all about timing, at the appropriate time, Brooksley Bourne becomes the poster child for reform. Because now the crime has already been committed. Now we can burn the bridge. Now we can move on. Same thing. Same thing here. Of course, the gaping security hole wasn't fixed 6 months after, because the crime was still being committed, essentially. Continuing, though, it's not clear who ordered the server's data irretrievably erased. Of course it's not. The Kennesaw Election Center answered to Georgia's Secretary of State Brian Kemp, a Republican running for governor in 2018, and the suit's main defendant. His spokeswoman issued a statement Thursday saying his office had neither involvement nor advance warning of the decision. It blamed, quote, the undeniable ineptitude at the Kennesaw State Election Center. Of course, finger pointing. No one will go to prison, though. Kind of like, you know, as long as you toe the line, everything will be fine. Brian Kemp will be fine, just like Chris Christie won't serve any prison time for Bridgegate or any other crimes that he's committed. We'll see him on TV like we do today. But I digress. Stick around. Second hour coming up right after the short break. We'll be right back.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.